This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
On Friday, we began our annual Back to School series, and we're rolling on with interviews with local education leaders over the next 2 to 3 weeks. Superintendent Jared Corden, Roseburg Public Schools, in today. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So, overall, how did the start of the school year go?
Oh, you know, I love September. It's great to have our students back. Short of the minor challenge of the air quality to get the year started. We had a great start to the year. Our educators were able to welcome kids back. Kids were super excited to actually be back in school, and I know we had some excited parents out there I talked to as well. But we had a great start to the year. Again, we started before Labor Day, so this is week two for us, and we are off and rolling.
And it should be pointed out, there are a few districts that actually started today, and historically, that's kind of a mix. Why go with the earlier start?
Well, we have a process that we would start looking at our calendars in about November, and we approve those typically in December. We've had some later Labor Days over the last couple of years, and the board has approved that calendar before Labor Day, and we'll see if they continue to do that in the future.
It's interesting how this varies, because a lot of schools back east or down south begin in like early August. And I think for people out here, we are not quite sure why they do that right in the heat of summer.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I have very few people complain about an early start. There's some academic reasons to start early. It does help extra week of testing and just in terms of, measuring where students are at academically. But I've never really had someone complain about getting out early in June. Interesting point there. So it's been okay. That extra week, I think, has gone relatively well. It does give us a nice week with kids. We have kind of a soft start with some of our younger kids. Allows us to just get our sixth and ninth graders in. And then we can start this week, everybody all together, having all those routines set, knowing where their classes are. So it's been a good thing for us.
Any big changes in the district this year?
Well, the most visible change I think the community will see is probably some construction projects. We've had a number of safety and security conversations over the last many years that I've been here in terms of how to make sure we can keep our kids and our staff safe, and so we are in the process of doing construction at 4 buildings right now, installing vestibules, and that construction will happen throughout the year. It's probably important to know it's the last year of what they call ESSER funding, which is the federal COVID money, and we've been using that to take care of some of these type of projects that do add security to the schools.
And those look like they have been kind of challenging, because you have a lot of these schools that add all these different wings, and to try to create one entrance point, just architecturally, it looks like a challenge.
Yeah, it's we don't have, there's not really a building standard where we've had a specific design we've invested in over the many years. And again, the buildings are older. They average about 75 years old, and safety wasn't really the key priority in the building. So I think the architects have done a pretty good job. They look quite different depending on which building you have. RHS versus Winchester versus Fir Grove, all vastly different right now. Also have a project going at Eastwood. We're trying to make sure it feels welcoming, but also prioritizes being secure.
And some people have noticed around the district going with that in some places, kind of the tall black or dark fencing. What's the reaction to that?
I think overall it's been positive. We have a combination of some wrought iron fencing. Most of that's been the front of the building, but we have secured, we have a couple of phases coming, but overall I think it's been pretty positive. It's that traditional fencing, but it is black, and we do have the slats in there that makes that look a little better.
Do you feel like it looks a little, I don't even know the right word, a little non-friendly?
Yeah, I mean, this is the trick with safety and security, right? When you're retrofitting buildings. It's tricky. The design of all new buildings is really security is at the beginning of that. So if you look at construction of any building in the last 10 years with the issues we've had around school shootings and active aggressors in schools, the element of safety in the design process early helps build something that doesn't feel institutional, if you will, right? So the retrofitting is a little difficult, but I think overall, most of the parents and the students we talk to do appreciate knowing that when they're in school and they get in those doors, the building and its adjacent property, that would be, outside area, recess area, is going to be secure.
What about program additions to the district this year?
Well, I guess two come to mind. I mean, the one that we've talked about a little bit, I think I've talked about in the show before, is we're really making, Umpqua Community College and our school district have a joint position right now, a P20 pathway coordinator. And to make kind of in simplistic terms, it's this. We have a number of high-wage, high-demand jobs in our community that businesses can't fill. And we see this in a variety of areas, particularly in advanced manufacturing and advanced healthcare. And so one thing that we're really focusing on this year is ensuring that when students in our school district, there's a clear pathway that the kids can see it early, whether that's in advanced manufacturing, our current CTE programs, or in advanced healthcare. That really provides a path from our school district into UCC and into an industry, industry. It provides our community a way to make sure we can keep our local talent here. It also effectively has bachelor's degree jobs almost at no student debt, which is another thing, and fills the need in our community for high wage, high demand jobs.
Seems like there's really an effort with your district, with UCC, and a lot of the business folks to try to keep more young people here.
Yeah, I think that's an important element. It's interesting to me, and this isn't degrading in any way. It's not intended to be, but we oftentimes incentivize kids to leave. Right, we have scholarships if you're going to be out of town or go out of state, and although we want to make sure we encourage kids to find their passion. The passion can be here, and a lot of students just don't see that there's a mechanism to stay here in a high-wage, high-demand job, and there is. We have literally hundreds of jobs in our county that are high-wage, high-demand, that our students here in this county can fill those job needs, and that's a win for the entire community.
What about new staff? How many folks did you have to hire this year?
We had about 40 licensed teachers we hired and about 40 classified staff. Classified staff do a variety of many things to keep our school district operating effectively. It's about 80 total positions this year.
Is that higher than normal?
It's balanced year to year. That's about normal-ish. We did lose some really fantastic educators who retired. We had a few resignations, but we're typically on the licensed side somewhere between about 25 to 40 a year.
I know I did some reading, even spotted an article in the past couple of hours about the challenge of keeping teachers and some people choosing to exit the profession of education in the last few years. Is that becoming a challenge?
Well, we've seen mostly, the age of our teaching staff has been a little bit older. We have a seasoned group of teachers, which has been wonderful. So we anticipate we're going to have some of those retirements as people get to that spot that they can do that. We have all of our licensed positions filled this year, so we're actively recruiting. And some of that requires introspection on our end to make sure that we're a place that people see as a destination to be at and an organization to work at. I talked to the staff earlier in the year about the fact we want our district, we want people to buy, not rent here, if you will. Come and be part of our school district. That's an important aspect of running a quality organization.
What about funding for the district? The last few years with the pandemic and everything, you've had a lot of money come and go for special purposes, but overall, how do things look this year?
Well, that's a bit of a loaded question. It's kind of been the tale of two cities, if you will, funding-wise, over the last many years. In some ways, I think our funding's been higher than normal. In fact, I'd almost say much higher than normal, particularly with the COVID funding that's coming in, And this will be the last year of that funding. The legislature passed student investment account funding many years ago. That's been a huge asset for us. At the same time, when I take a look at what our needs are in terms of capital improvements needed in the community, the majority of funding we get is to run our operations day to day, and that's been great. We're excited that the legislature voted on a $10.2 billion biennium. That's fantastic for us. That allows us to keep that level there. But I still continue to have, you know, questions in the community. I continue to raise this question about, you know, what's the plan for our buildings? And that's a discussion, really it's a funding discussion as well, but a little bit different discussion that way.
All right, we're going to talk more about that and related topics in a moment. The interview, a podcast after 1-541-radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming at 1. Superintendent Terry Prestiani of the Sutherland School District on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County during the Back to School series. Superintendent Jared Corden in with us now, talking about the Roseburg District. Right before the break, you mentioned the aging buildings. There have been, what, three attempts, I think, now in recent years to get a levy. None of those have been successful. Where do you go from here?
Well, at this point, we're, you know, we continue to, the buildings don't get any younger, and so we're just doing our best to make sure we operationally can work. It's interesting. We had, I had several questions about smoke, to start the year, and that's where some of the conversations we had previously about the bonds previously would do things, you know, they would address issues like air filtration, right? We are in an interesting kind of spot in the community where we're going to keep operating like we are, but we'll continue to have discussions on what we think the future of our schools and communities should be. When it comes to heat, with some of the new OSHA guidelines with heat illness prevention and some of the smoke guidelines, you know, it does jeopardize our current condition, does jeopardize our ability to provide those educational and even after school services for kids. So I think it's conversations in the community we need to continue to have. I don't know, you know, if there's going to be another bond or when that would be. That's the board's decision. But we'll continue to invest in the buildings we have, make the best use of those we can, look for any improvements we can. I think it'll continue to be a community conversation.
And for the smoke aspect, when that issue comes along, you don't really get much advance planning. You have a fire incident begin. Weather patterns do what they will, and then you wake up one morning and you're not sure if you can have a football game that night.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. The smoke is actually the least predictable. Heat index is unpredictable, partly because it's a combination between temperature and humidity. Of course, the snow is unpredictable, but the smoke is much more predictable. It's driven primarily by the wind, which is unpredictable. So, we've done the best we could. We started off, you know, really some high numbers on Monday, the first day of school last week. We were close to 500 AQI. At that point, we can't operate in the school. Kind of close. We did a half day the next day because it looked like it'd be worse. It was actually better. So you do the best you can. You look at the forecast and you try to plan. We have a plan for that. What is interesting, though, is in buildings where there has been an investment in things like air filtration, you can run regardless. Really, it doesn't matter if it's a 500 AQI. The building's still safe inside. That's not the case with the majority of our classrooms.
What about curriculum adoptions? Anything shift this year?
In the last couple of years, we've adopted in English, math, and in health curriculums. And so this year, we're supposed to be on a seven-year cycle with that. And so it had been a while since we'd had adoption in math and English and health. And so we're really moving forward in the implementation of those curriculums this year.
Now, what about busing? I know, especially when the pandemic began, that really became an issue for a lot of different reasons. And then you got into, pay and people's preferences for jobs. How does that look this year?
Well, we're, I think we're doing, you know, the situation in buses in terms of staffing is in a much better spot. We subcontract our busing services with First Student. And, you know, at one point in the pandemic, I mean, we had some really, really difficult routes. I mean, there were routes double and triple backed, and kids were on the bus way too long. We're talking about, you know, 2-hour bus rides each way. And in a rural type setting, although we can have longer than normal, that was really not acceptable for families and kids. We're a much better spot this year. The staffing at First Student's been great. We have rolled out an app. First Student's rolled this out, and we're working through that process where families can track, kind of see where the bus is at. In case there's been a delay, they can also put a geofence around that. So we're trying to provide better service in terms of making sure families know when they can expect their kids home.
And that app has got to be a huge relief to parents when things are up in the air. If you have a student that doesn't have a phone, that they're younger maybe or whatever. And that's just, you know, you think about all the things you can track in life, and it's ironic that, you know, before that you could find your package that was heading to you from anywhere in the world, but you couldn't figure out where your kid was.
Yeah, it's good to be caught up a little bit on technology there. Our parents, I think, have enjoyed it. We've had to make sure the rollout prioritizes student safety so that the right people have the app. Students don't have an RFID on them. It's not that kind of tracking, but again, you can kind of geofence if you said, hey, I want to know when the bus is within 1,500 feet of the house so I can get out there. Most of us as parents have been there where you're like, where is this bus at? It's pouring down rain, and so this should help. I think that's been a good boon from us on the busing front.
What about after the pandemic? Are kids still getting more re-engaged in activities and sports and other things?
Yeah, it's been really great. We've had a record number. We continue to see a record number of students participating in after school athletics and activities. Our hope is that kids can find a passion, whether that's in whatever. I know when I grew up, my parents were always like, you're going to play a sport and do an activity. And so our hope is to provide the opportunity for that to happen. It is always worth a shout out. We're using the funds that come through the student activity or the student investment account to make sure there's not a barrier on pay, that we want our kids to play. And so we have a no-fee policy when it comes to athletics and activities, and that's really helped out. I think I've told this story. I had a mom talk to me a couple of years ago that had 4 students in our schools, and she's like, I can't. It's just too expensive. It was $225 an activity at that point. If kids play 3 activities in the year times 4 kids. And so the hope is to make sure kids, you know, pique an interest, have something they enjoy. And there's other fees that parents have to, you know, pay to get kids there. But it's been nice to reduce that activity or athletic fee or eliminate it altogether.
As you look at the future, you've been here for several years now. What hopes do you have ahead for the district?
You know, my I think expectation here is that we really improve student opportunities and outcomes. There's been times where there's been this people insinuate there's a limit to what we can accomplish in Douglas County, and that's always rubbed me the wrong way. I expect our buildings to be leading the way across the nation in terms of outcomes and opportunities for kids. We've got a great strategic plan that's focused on care, support, and instruction and graduation, and then make sure kids have a plan after they graduate. And I expect that work to be rolling forward in a fast way this year.
Now, you've got some new school board members as of, I think, June, July, whatever that was. Talk about that transition.
Yeah, they've been great. They've already shown a real keen interest in learning about their new roles and asking great questions about how to make sure they can best support students. I think the group's working really well together, and they're focused on making sure student outcomes and achievement happens, and that we're focusing on the right things as a school district.
And talk about the overall role of a school board.
Yeah, board members play a really critical role. They're incredible assets in the community, but they direct the work of education in a school district. And so they are locally elected. We have 7 board members here in our school district. And they set the vision for where we want to go as a school district. They've developed and adopted a strategic plan, and we're working hard to make sure we can deliver on that for them.
All right, Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools, thanks for coming in.
Appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.